Welcome to Comedians with Ghost Stories. I'm your host, writer, and comedian, Emily Winter, and every week I bring you a performer with a very spooky story that happened to them. If you like this podcast, please rate and review it and tell your friends and, you know, your enemies if they're into this kind of stuff and you need an excuse to patch things up, who knows. You can also support this podcast by buying my book. It's a trivia book called One Day Smarter and it's perfect for the holidays. You can also always Venmo me directly at Emily-Winter, again that's Emily-Winter, on Venmo. And I appreciate whatever you can give. Anyway, I hope you enjoy this episode and have a lovely week. Today on the podcast, I'm super excited to have comedian Chris Schlichting. Chris, hello, how are you?
Hello, thanks for having me on. I am super excited to be a guest on your show.
Oh my gosh, I'm so happy to have you. We were just catching up a little bit before the podcast. And I, at the end of this, I want you to tell everybody where they'll be able to eventually find your album that you're going to record very soon.
I know. Let's not jinx it. I haven't recorded it yet. Jeez, I always get so nervous that something's going to happen.
But like, you're going to get hit by a truck or something?
Yeah, or just going to call me in a little bit and say, it fell through. We decided to go a different route. You're out in LA, you're going to experience probably a lot of that.
Yeah, but I feel like you have the venue, you have the people that are recording, yeah. You have everything, it's all set up. It's all wonderful.
I'm good to go. I'm ready, I think.
It's great. And Chris, you're a wonderful comedian in Iowa. Your wife, Emily, is wonderful. We are both parts of Chris and Emily's.
Oh my, I didn't even think about that. Oh, man. I was just thinking, I'm like, your name is always easy to remember for me.
Yeah.
I am a little confused, though, because you're not yelling at me. I'm used to Emily's screaming at me. So
give it 20 more minutes. I'm on good behavior for like a half hour.
Okay.
So I'm so excited to hear your story. Does it take place in Iowa?
Yes, it does.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. Tell me everything.
Okay. I love spooky things. I've always been interested, but as much as I'm interested, I can't really tell you something that's happened to me personally. I've always get these secondhand accounts and stuff, but this one I think is more of a heartwarming story because it involves my grandpa. And should I just begin? Should I just go into it?
Yeah. Okay, cool. And I'm just going to interrupt you all the time. And
Okay. All right. So, my grandpa was just kind of your stereotypical grandpa, just like the alpha male, like the just kind of be like grandpa, just kind of did it all. He was kind of a Renaissance man. He was a farmer, he was a beekeeper, he was a bricklayer, he just did it all. He what's the term? He was first generation German. So he came here, basically had to learn the language, taught himself through like reading and, you know, having conversations with people at like bus stops to try to teach himself how to speak English. Now, unfortunately, my great grandpa, my grandpa's dad, was not a nice man and, you know, abused my grandpa, kicked him out of the house. And this was like early 1900s before you had shelters. So he lived out in the woods, camped.
In Germany?
No, this was when he was in Iowa. Yeah, when he was farming the state.
So what's your grandpa's name?
John.
Okay.
My middle name is John, named after my grandpa. So yeah, he was just kind of a strong guy, just, you know, a quiet man. But when he spoke, it meant something. So one thing I wanted to share with you too, this is, he was always really tough. So this was how tough he was. He was out in the, you know, he was a farmer. He was out in the field plowing. They had a combine at the time. This was, I believe early, I want to say early 60s maybe. Mm-hmm. So he was out in the fields plowing and something went wrong and he ended up cutting off his pointer finger and his middle finger. So so he sliced off like kind of in the halfway across his fingers. Now most people, you even just made the reaction, most people would go to the hospital. I'd probably cry.
He wrapped up
his fingers in a handkerchief, his severed fingers, put it in his pocket and continued to work because he didn't want to lose his job and he didn't want to complain. You know what I mean?
Oh my God.
So that unfortunately ended up, they couldn't, you know, attach his fingers after that, but that's just kind of a depiction of how tough he was and how work was so important to him. I know. So unfortunately, my grandpa had a weakness. It was cigarettes. And I remember him always having a cigarette. In fact, this is crazy. When he was dying of lung cancer, I remember visiting him in the hospital, and he was smoking a cigarette in the hospital, on the bed. That's how crazy it was back then, and that's how crazy that addiction can be. You know what I mean?
What year was this that they were allowing this?
I know. I don't think they were allowing it.
He just did it. He was
Yeah,
like,
he just did it. So I do remember that, and it was just crazy to me. But anyway, unfortunately, he did pass. He succumbed to the cancer, and my mom just had a hard time dealing with it, had a hard time struggling with it. She was really struggling with it, and she had this routine. She told me about this routine because at the time, I believe I was 6 or 7. So I'm in first grade. My older brother is, I don't know, fourth grade or something. My mom would send us to school. She'd go in the dining room, put her head on the dining room table, and just cry because she missed her dad so much.
Oh.
And that was her routine forever. She just didn't think she would make it. He was just, the rock in that family. But she said that this is the awesome part. I just love this story. But she said that one day she was doing her routine. She sent us to school. And I do have, it's funny too, Emily, because I remember her crying a lot, even when I was like at a young age. I remember seeing my mom, not fully understanding it. But she was doing her routine. She sent us to school. She put her head on the table and just cried. But she said that day she felt a hand go into her hand. And she was the only person in the house. And she could tell that it was her dad's because she could feel the fingers. Yeah, she could feel the nubs, I guess you could say. And so she felt the hand go into hers. And, at first there was shock, of course, but then she realized who it was, and she didn't want to like wake up or like lift her head because she knew if she did, he'd probably be gone. So then she told me that she felt the hand sort of like leave her hand. And the interesting part about that is ever since that day, she's never mourned him, she's never cried, she's never, I know. So it was kind of like his way of telling her, hey, I'm gonna be fine. And I just love that story because it's so him. And even when he did pass, my mom was up at the hospital and staying with him. It was late, and my grandpa woke up and was like, Squeak, he called her Squeak. Squeak, what are you doing here? You have two kids to be taken care of. I'm gonna be fine. Go home and take care of them. So she did, and she got a call the next morning that grandpa passed. So it was just another thing that grandpa did not want my
Her
mom
there.
to be there. Yeah. So it's like this weird, it's this weird, I don't know. It's like a sense of it's time. And it's just, I don't know. It just really moves me. And it just to know that my grandpa, even in the afterlife, was possibly, aware of everything and just wanted to be comforting to her daughter. Now, I will say this, Emily, my mom really was into the 60s and 70s. She loved the hippie culture. So who knows if this was an actual paranormal event,
But this is
but
like now in the 80s. Like that would have to be some serious residual shit that is
yeah,
going.
true, yeah, true. But I do like there's multiple stories about how when you die, when it's your time to die, and I like to believe this, that you don't go alone. Like somebody comes to get you, and someone that you love or trusted will be there. There's other stories of my great aunt. I remember when she passed, she said, when we went to visit her, she said, oh, my husband, Michael was here to visit me last night. And we were like confused because Michael passed 5 years prior. And the next day she died. It's just
It's
like,
so common. It's so wonderful.
but yeah, exactly. It's, and unlike I'm sure a lot of the other stories that you've heard, this is just, I feel like a comforting one and nice to know that you're not alone. But I can't imagine how creepy it would be if my grandpa got like the wrong house and
And you're just like, why is this person with not enough fingers touching me?
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, but I just think it's just a testimony to my grandpa. And I've always felt that, like, he's just like kind of the protector. Mm-hmm. But yeah, and my mom loves telling that story. But again, it's as much as I love this stuff, nothing's like happened to me. And as much as I want it to, I also don't. Like, I'm not going to
be. No, it's great. Super scary. Well, yes. Having that happen to your mom, I guess you've always been like a believer, but like, did that change? Did it feel more real to you? Like, to know that this could happen in your family? And like, I don't know. Like, yeah, how?
I think it felt more comforting.
Okay.
I think the natural reaction with supernatural stuff or ghosts is fear. I mean, it just goes hand in hand. But, you know, if you think about it, that these were people too. And I can't imagine that if you're a ghost, you're probably confused. You're probably scared, maybe. I don't know. So that for me was really like kind of a heartwarming story. Now, I will be flat out honest with you, Emily. Since I've gotten older, I've kind of taken more of a skeptic approach because I think it helps me get evidence more, I guess you could say. Mm-hmm. Because if you go into a haunted location or if you go to a haunted place and you're like, you love this stuff, you love ghosts, you will make something happen.
Absolutely.
Even if it doesn't happen. Like, I have been let down on multiple ghost tours, and these other people will tell you, oh, I felt something. And it just doesn't, it feels like, no, you didn't. Like, nothing happened.
And also when there's other people, like, it's like almost competitive. Who's going to feel the ghost first? And so people are just making, yeah, like, oh, yeah. There was a draft. And yeah.
And I'm not calling him a liar, but I am. Like, yeah. You know what I mean? It's like, will you relax and let me experience it? But I don't know. It's just to know that. And it's just, you know, as my parents get older, and my parents are just big, like mama bear, dad bear, like just protectors. And just
you see them a lot.
I do. And I try to a lot, especially now as I'm getting older. And I just know that they're going to still be in my life in some capacity, even when they're gone. And it's just comforting to know. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. So this is interesting to me because you were raised Catholic, as you're talking mm-hmm. about before the pod, and you're a Midwestern dude. So I feel like that's like, it's all very practical and there's answers a little bit. But what do you think happens when you die?
You know what? That's a great question. I used to be really into the heaven and hell concept because of, you know, how I was raised and stuff. But lately I've just been considering, what if there's just nothing? Like, what if you just become dirt? You know what I mean? And I took a really interesting philosophy class in college, and one of the questions they posed was, it's irrational to fear death. Let's say if we took religion out of it and there was no sense of a higher power or like heaven or hell, if you die, you cease to exist. When you die, you're done. No emotion. So his point, you know, philosophy is always kind of formulaic. It's not as like fun as you might think sometimes.
Yeah, it's like math. Yeah.
It's like this, therefore this.
Yes, you know, a lot of click comedy too can be very mathematical.
Yeah, for sure. And his thing was like, fear exists only when you're alive. And if you're dead, you have no emotions. So thus fear, it's more accurate to say it's, you fear the process of dying, not death itself. Because when you die, fear is not there. I'm just like, geez, buddy, relax.
I mean, it checks out, but how can you reckon the idea of just becoming dirt when you have this super strong like ghost story in your family? You know, like, so what was that feeling from your mom?
I think the dirt concept, Emily, in all honesty, comes from my depression a little bit. Like, you know what I mean? I'm just like, what does it matter? Like, and it's just, it's hard. I don't know why I become such a, like a skeptic lately with what how I was raised and how much I'm into this stuff. It's like, what do I want? You know what I mean? It's just kind of, it's hard to explain, but. And then the more you think about it, the whole concept of a heaven, is great. But then when you think about if there's a heaven, there has to be a hell, right? In
I
theory.
don't necessarily think so.
Okay. And you're not the only one that believes that. But I mean, you can't say that if there is a heaven, not everybody just makes it to heaven, right?
Well, I guess I don't really believe in heaven either, but I do believe in
Okay.
like an afterlife, like a collective sort of energy that we like a source that we return to. Therefore, everybody sort of goes back into like this, let's just call it like a ball of light. And
Yeah,
yeah.
and that's a great, and I've heard that before about how, what is it, energy can no cannot be destroyed. So yeah, when you die, you are energy, and that energy has to go someplace. So I love it. I don't know, man. It's just as I become, and I think that's kind of why I've gotten away from the Catholic faith, just how, you know, we talk about formulaic, but just how many damn rules there are. You know what I mean? It's just insane. Can I just have faith in my own way? And I believe you can. And that's what, because I do believe in a God. I do believe in a higher power. I don't necessarily believe in an Adam and an Eve and like a, you know, the ark and all that stuff, all these crazy biblical stories, which some people do take literally. So I do believe there's a higher power, whatever that might be, even if it's like sort of your own interpretation of, but something is out there and watching us. And there's a great comic, Ryan Singer, who has just the best line. He's into all this stuff too, Emily. And he has just the greatest, simplest line about all this stuff, the supernatural, cryptozoology. It's more fun to believe. It's more fun to believe.
Yeah, that's
You
a good point.
can poo-poo on all this stuff. You know, people make fun of me because I'll pay money to go on and see a haunted bridge or something. And I'm like, it's more fun to believe. And as someone who's also trying to, you know, trying to get sober, it keeps me out of the taverns. You know what I mean? When I'm on the road as a comic, the routine was I gotta go find a local bar and just hang
Yeah.
out there. But now it's like, and every town has it. I'll Google what's haunted in Nashville, Tennessee.
Yeah.
What's haunted? And you can find it. You always gotta like filter out the haunted houses, no, like the Halloween tourist
Right.
trap stuff. But you can find them. There's always folklore. There's always, and it's just intriguing
It's
to
so
go
fun.
experience that. Yeah,
And I've never
that's
thought
what
of
I
it
like.
that way. It's a great thing to do at night when you're like in, you know, instead of going to a bar.
Yeah, it's just
Although
it's a different kind of spirit.
Yes, oh my God, absolutely. And I do have to say, like, I'm so sorry for bringing this up when you're like getting sober, but like I went to a really rad bar with you in Iowa. Man, I love that bar. We think about it all the time. We talk about it all the
Are you
time.
serious?
We're like, it was like a bar. I cannot remember the name of it, but like they had some regulars die had died. I mean, it's an old bar. I think maybe you and Emily came, maybe you just met us outside or something. I don't know, but like they had plaques on the bar stools for the old dudes that had died, and I was like, oh, you're sitting in, you know, Ned's seat. And I was like, whoa. So,
Yeah.
you know.
Yeah, it's so it, yeah, I do remember that. And that was a bar I never went to. We did that comedy show, then we walked across the street and we just hung out there, and it just felt so weird. And most likely Ned died from that very reason.
Yeah, from
It's
sitting at
like
that bar for 30
if you,
years.
Emily, if you've got a goddamn plaque on the bar, most likely his alcohol, you know, had something to do with it. So it's just kind of funny to think about. But yeah, and I it's just something that I wanted to do for me because it was cutting into the money and the funds a little bit,
Oh my God.
and just not safe to do it on the road. So it just gave me an alternative, something to find. It's everywhere. And I don't know, it's just like Ryan says, it's more fun to believe. Why not? Why not believe?
So, as a person who's visited a lot of haunted places, do you have any in the US or I guess even abroad that you like super recommend?
Well, I'm pretty excited. I was doing some shows in Kansas recently, and this was like on a bucket list, but there's a structure there called the Sally House. And the Sally House is considered, now again, Emily, I don't know how you rate the haunting of a place. And I always think that's kind of funny, but it's considered one of the most haunted places in all of the United States. They checked. But I got to cross that off the bucket list, and I went there during the day because I'm still not necessarily, I'm still scared of this stuff. So,
Yeah.
And it was awesome because, like what we talked about earlier, I don't like other people being there because they don't share my same sort of beliefs or feelings about it. So basically, the tour consisted of me going to City Hall, getting the code to go to the house and just explore on my own.
That's awesome.
And it was awesome. It was perfect. So just to be there, knowing that this was has been on my bucket list for a while, was a really cool experience. And another thing, I think there's a difference between haunted places and places where people actually did die. And so I always try to be super respectful just because, I don't know, if someone died, especially if it's fairly recently, it's just a whole other kind of vibe. And even if you're not looking for the supernatural stuff or the ghost stuff, someone did die here. And you just it just adds a whole other kind of energy. But the Villisca House, excuse me, I'll talk about that here in a little bit, but the Sally House was incredible. I highly recommend it. It's in Atchison, Kansas, and it was just it did have that vibe. When you walk into a house, you just feel that energy. And that's like the only kind of experience I've ever had where something's happening. The Villisca House in Villisca, Iowa is also another one where in the early 1900s, a whole family was wiped out. And the murder's unsolved too. They don't know who did it, which adds another layer. Plus, there were six kids
Oh
involved
my
that were
gosh. Oh.
bludgeoned to death with an axe. When I went in there too, I'm like, man, people died in this house. Kids died in this house.
Right.
So those are like two of my favorites: the Villisca Axe Murder House, the Sally House was great. The place that I book here in Iowa is actually at a haunted location. It's called the Renwick Mansion.
Oh.
And it has just been incredible because it's two things that I love, like your podcast, like
Yeah.
comedy and ghosts. And I do think we create an energy in there that heightens, I guess you could say, some activity. I've watched comics on stage with bottle caps flying off the stool.
Wait, really?
Shut it. I'll have to send it when I do have a clip of it.
Bury
I'll
the lead here, buddy. Oh
I know,
my
I guess I'm sorry, but people claim they see orbs during the show. There's like old-fashioned wooden shutters behind the stage and they go up and down. There's no vents.
Oh
But
my God, this is
I don't know.
awesome.
It's incredible. And it's just one of those structures that looks like it should be haunted. And my friends Dane and Sarah, they own it, and we've been doing comedy for the last 3 years, and it's just such a fun location.
Yeah, so is it like in a ballroom or where do you throw the show?
It's like it's think of like a narrow like kind of a hallway between the living room and dining room, and we just it sits it, that's the one bad thing. It only sits about 70. We pack them
Oh.
in there, and
That's huge for New York or LA, that's like very big.
oh I maybe okay but you look at it and you're like, where's the show? It's in there, and we've had Kyle Kinane perform there,
Oh,
and
I
he
love
just
him.
loved it because he's got a similar podcast where he talks about monsters and all these folklore stuff. And so he absolutely loved it. And it's just, I don't know what is with comics. I always have this theory that comics love two things: spooky ghost stuff and professional wrestling. It's just like
Dude.
one of them. And I don't know why. Maybe the professional wrestling, the promos, like those guys are so good in the drama, but
I know way too much about it. I don't know much about it, but like I've heard more about professional wrestling, doing stand-up comedy as an adult than I ever did as like a teenager. You know, like
yeah, I
what is wrong with
know.
you people?
Yeah, there's places all over. There's places in LA. The one another one that I got to see was the Stanley Hotel in Colorado, Estes Park, I believe. That was cool. That's where Stephen King wrote The Shining. That's got some powerful energy too. It's just in such a beautiful location too. So I got to see that place. And I guess when you go to these places, Emily, you automatically expect, oh, I'm going to get my shirt tugged, or I'm going to get pushed, or I'm going to hear a voice. And it doesn't always happen, but it doesn't mean it's not valid.
Right. No, absolutely. I think if it was on all the time, it would seem more fake.
Yeah, for
But let's
sure.
go back to the fact that you run a haunted comedy
Okay,
show.
okay.
Are you billing it as such, or like how does
Yeah,
this?
we lean into it. We actually, even after the show, we'll offer ghost tours, which are just kind of makeshift facts that we've gotten, we've accumulated through, you know, the owners have done some research on it. William Renwick was a lumber baron here in Iowa, and you know, just like a rich cat, there's a tower up on the mansion and it overlooks the Mississippi River. So this guy would sit up there and smoke his cigars and watch his lumber like come in, like, oh my God. Yeah. And so there's been things where people have been up there and they swear they've smelt cigars and stuff like that. And another thing, I think it's important to, I'm amazed at how much I know about this without even like researching, you know what I mean? Just absorb it. But just because someone hasn't died at a location does not mean it's not haunted. You do not need death on a premise for it to be haunted. And that's, it helps build that folklore. But and so there's no records of anybody dying at the house. But also, you know, we got to think too, early 1900s, late 1800s, how good were records?
And do you want to put, it could have been.
Do you want to put that on, you know, your property stuff? So it's something to consider. It was built on like the highest point of Davenport, and it used to be a religious, I don't want to go Hollywood and say it was Indian burial ground, but it was a sacred place where the Indians would pray. And it was built right on top of that, so that could be creating some energy. But yeah, it's just a really
fascinating location.
It's a place that I won't go in by myself. I've never had anything happen, but I've gone with the owner before, and I'm just like, you feel really uncomfortable, and but not in a bad way too. It's almost like the grandpa feel, you know. It's fine. If there is such thing going on, you ask for permission. You just say, hey, it's me or whatever. But yeah, there's a good energy in that place. And I think the comedy just only adds to it.
Right. Oh, I mean, I think that's another similarity between comedy and ghost stuff, is just that there's an invisible energy that you create out of nothing. And then it's suddenly its own entity in a room and you can't explain it. It has to be the collection of a bunch of different people feeling sort of the same way for a minute.
For sure.
Yeah.
And the venue is used for weddings, you know, birthday parties. And the big thing that they get is ghost hunters. There's so many ghost hunting groups. They're all over. And so they were rented out to ghost hunters and they'll have it for the night. But, you know, Dane and Sarah walk that fine line because they're kind of skeptics. And for the comedy, they push the ghost stuff. Mm-hmm. But for the weddings, it's not haunted. Because, I mean, obviously, you don't want to be married. Some people do, but you know what I mean? So they're always kind of playing both sides, I guess you could say.
That's so interesting. That was actually what I was going to ask. That's what they do with a venue like that. How, how often is this show? Where can people find this show? And then please plug whatever else you would like to plug.
Okay. Yeah. And you know what? I hope that grandpa story, it's just a cute one that I've always.
No, I love that. I love
But you're not like shaking in your boots, you know?
That's
you're not
okay. Scared.
It is okay, right?
I think people that are interested in this stuff, like really interested, like, I mean, it's not just about being terrified. It's about, I think it really is also answering the question for us or helping us try to find our own way of like, what happens when you die? And like, what is your imprint? What is your legacy? And like, so I love heartwarming ghost stories. And also like as a person who doesn't see ghosts and would like to see one, I would like mine to be nice, you know?
Yeah, for sure. Of course. I'm with you. I'm the same boat. But also, doesn't it suck that even when you're a ghost, your fingers are gone? Like you would think. poor grandpa. I love you, grandpa. But all right. So also, Emily, you and Chris are invited to come to the mansion at any point. I'd love to have you on a show. You get to That's another thing is like, you know, as comics, you need a place to stay. And we offer them a place to stay at the mansion. So that's even another factor.
Maybe we can talk about a summer show. Yes. We would love this so much. Okay.
Okay. So Renwick Mansion, R-E-N-W-I-C-K Mansion, the Renwick Mansion. That's the tag for Facebook. You can see upcoming shows. Now we call the shows Tomfoolery on Tremont, because it's on Tremont Street, and that's what we came up with. And that's the best. It's just too far gone. Now it's that. Tomfoolery on Tremont.
Great.
So yeah, you can get information about upcoming shows, but you can find information about me. My handle is Schlick, S-C-H-L-I-C-K comedy. and you can get information about upcoming shows. Like you said, I'm going to be recording my first album. I've been doing comedy for like 16 years, and I'm finally going to record it. I'll be recording at Jukebox Comedy Club in Peoria, and I'll have to let you know how that goes. But I'm kind of enjoying TikTok too. So Schlick Comedy, TikTok.
Amazing.
I'm trying to exploit that for everything it's worth.
Good for you.
But yeah, I'm just kind of doing the best I can, trying to stay relevant and just having fun.
That is great. Thank you so much for doing the podcast.
Of course, Emily. I appreciate it.
Thank you for listening to Comedians with Ghost Stories. Hope to see you next week. I don't know. I'll have you come back next time.